Hey folks, you're listening to the Money Date Podcast, a podcast that my husband and I launched to help young couples get real about their money.
We'll ask our friends and a few strangers all the uncomfortable and awkward questions about how they handle their money.
All the gory details, and hopefully a few tips and tricks along the way that you can pick up and use in your own relationship.
Well, welcome to another episode of The Money Date, everybody. We're your hosts. I'm Delmar.
Adity.
And we're joined today by Kelsey and Wes. Welcome to the show today, guys.
Hey.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
We were just chatting about a trip that two of you took abroad for 9 months down to South America. That must have been fun.
It was so fun. Yeah. Wes is really big into whitewater kayaking. So it kind of launched our interest in going down to South America. And we spent most of our time in Chile. And I was working for my business while abroad. And he was pursuing a lot of his kayak expedition.
Living the dream, guys.
Yeah, exactly. So that's a bit more about what the two of you have been up to recently. How did you meet?
Tell us that love story.
Yeah, it was, I guess, 16 years ago, more or less.
Wow. Oh, wow.
Yeah, we met in like eighth grade. Dated briefly in eighth grade for maybe
a couple months.
No way.
Yeah. And then I actually, after that little fling, I ended up dating one of Kelsey's like better friends. We're getting
the
nitty gritty, so it's all good.
Middle school drama, you know.
Yeah.
Well, we relate. Oddity's laughing in part because we had
this
a very
is
similar
word for word our story, but yeah. I'm loving it. Keep going.
And I think it was beginning of 10th grade. Kelsey and I think I asked her to.
One of the dances,
prom, yeah. Or homecoming.
Oh my god!
And anyway, that kind of started our, you know, our longer relationship, and then we've pretty much been dating since. And then,
wow,
So I was 16. We've been dating since we were 16. We're 29 now.
That is so awesome.
He actually proposed when we were 20, which now looking back at age 29, I'm like, what were we thinking? But I mean, definitely the right choice. And here we are today. We've been married since 2012. So it's been about 7 years.
When did discussions and sort of conversations around money and finances start to come up?
We're both pretty heavily influenced by our parents for financial things. So we were independently talking about and preparing our finances pretty early on, including within high school. But then afterwards, I remember actually asking my mom in like 12th grade or something that was totally unnecessary if Wes and I could have a joint checking account, which didn't make any
sense.
It didn't make any sense. But we had like, you know, been doing activities together and spending money together.
Yeah.
So we're like, hey, maybe this makes sense. But then my mom, you know, put me back in my place.
Wait, what did she say? I really am curious. Like, what were her words?
I can't even remember. I think she was just like, you know, I don't really think that that's necessary.
Insane? Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah. But yeah, we've always been pretty proactive at talking about finances together. And then when we had decided we were getting engaged, this was something that we discussed in the two and a half years between being engaged and getting married.
That's so interesting. So you never really shied away from these conversations. Did that have anything to do with the fact that you guys started dating when you were so young and almost like before you had any meaningful kind of money or income, rather?
Yeah, I think it kind of just like organically happened, you know, because we did know each other so young and saw all these like an evolution of our relationship happening in front of our, you know, in front of our eyes. And part of that is finances
And adulting. Learning how to adult.
And then we went to separate universities and, you know, having a longer distance relationship. And I think it just kind of happened naturally.
And like I said, both of our parents had instilled in us, too. So I think it wasn't an awkward or a weird conversation or thing to talk about, I think, for either of us at the beginning.
And what did that influence look like? You talk about being influenced, each of you individually, by your parents. What were those influences?
Yeah, did they do any rituals with you guys or did you have like practices that helped you guys be comfortable with money in some ways?
My parents, from like an early age, kind of definitely pushed me to open up like a checking account and just started small. I know Kelsey had a credit card, I think, pretty young.
Mm-hmm.
And her mom kind of pushed her to get that and just kind of spend within her means, like kind of give her the responsibility and see how she handles it, I think.
Yeah.
But,
And when I had a checking account, my mom had me, I don't even remember what they're called anymore, but the I'm blanking on what it's actually called. The piece
like
where you
checkbook?
Keep, yeah, the checkbook, but then where you keep tabs on like what you spend and where your checks go, like labeling your numbers, like that's the
balancing your checkbook.
Yes, thank you. Yeah. Wow. That's not even really something that we have to do anymore with online banking, but as much, but you know, that I remember doing that as a teenager, just sitting in the passenger seat of the car, writing those, the things I spent money on and the stuff that came out of my account.
That's awesome.
I would say in general too, like both of our parents were very, fairly simple people.
Yeah.
You know, I can remember not specific conversations, but like my parents definitely explained to me like, you know, money's important, but it's not everything. And I know my parents like to bless others with money as much as they can and use it for as much good as possible. And again, I think that was instilled at a young age.
Yeah. They're sure. Neither of our parents were ever like big overspenders or like show offs or anything with their money. Always very had it. Strong sense of humility when it came to finances and money as well.
Sure.
How did that journey evolve? Now, how do you guys manage money together today?
We talk about it a lot. I will say that.
Yeah, for sure. I think the main things that we do is just to have a nice open communication, like what exactly is going on, and do updates of where we want to be in a few years, small goals, bigger goals, investment goals, but really just having that open line of communication. Whether it's spending on, you know, certain little things or bigger things.
Yeah. And finding unique or kind of roundabout ways to make money. Like our first house first apartment out here in Seattle, we had lived in a South Central Pennsylvania small town, and the cost of living there is significantly different than moving out west to Seattle. So that jump, and then both of us taking major career changes, him going from outside sales to carpentry work, starting from, you know, the very beginnings of carpentry work, and then me launching a business, not making any money the first year that I had launched it because it's completely bootstrapped, was tough. And we found out, you know, kind of different ways that we can support ourselves. We already had an investment property that we were making rental income on, so that was really helpful as a base income. And then also Airbnb, we were actually renting out our apartment on Airbnb to make some supplemental income. And sometimes it even paid for our rent, which is not cheap in Seattle.
Mm. That's incredible. So where'd you come up with these kinds of tactics and ideas?
We were kind of just really tight for money.
Yeah.
It's just the hustle, right? The hustle is real when the needs are real.
Yep.
Yeah. We knew we really wanted to live in Seattle, and we were kind of willing to, you know, cut a bunch of other financial
burdens.
Burdens that definitely can drown some people. But one of those things that we used to supplement our income was the Airbnb. Again, we had like a cash flow on our rental property. It helped us out for sure. And then we just in general, like lived still today, like live well below our means. And again, try to keep everything as simple as possible.
I'm really curious, you know, when money is tight, tensions usually go high. As you guys were going through that experience of sort of getting your business off the ground and you starting your carpentry career, did that ever happen to you guys?
Not towards each other, definitely in general, especially with me. And I felt the most guilt in that scenario too, because I wasn't bringing in any income and I was kind of working on this thing and taking this risk, and it could have all flopped as well. So I gave up a whole year of a salary, you know, and contributing that to our relationship as well. But he was amazing through it all and like my biggest support system. Couldn't have done it without him. I say that as a, you know, a feminist independent woman, but I couldn't have done it without him because of his support and his never blaming me for our financial, you know, tense situation or the lack of finances or having to get creative and kind of go take the extra mile to get creative, like Airbnb out our place, or living below our means. But he always saw the bigger picture of like, okay, I'm pursuing this as a passion and this is important and it can work. He always kind of believed in my vision as well.
Wes, how'd you stay so zen?
It's a combination, I think, of a bunch of things, I guess. When I was doing, well, I'm still doing carpentry, but my job did offer a steady income. But again, starting off just as like a carpenter apprentice, it's not a very lucrative way to start out, I guess, making money and living in a pretty expensive city, but it was steady. And I was just really stoked for Kelsey in general for taking this chance to start this business. And I just definitely wanted to see this dream kind of come to fruition. And I knew this experience we were going through moving to a new city was part of the ride, I guess. And I tried to live every day to, corny as it sounds, the fullest and just kind of see the good in everything. And I think a lot of that comes from, you know, my faith and just my friends that I surround myself with and my family, and just kind of have a really good support system. And everyone kind of comes together to maintain the stoke, I think.
That's awesome. A big piece of what we've talked about is communication and starting off in the same place. But another thing that came up earlier in the conversation is that the two of you are in touch about money and you talk about money a lot. So that obviously helps you sync up. Is it something that you plan? Is it something that sort of just comes up in the moment? And if it comes up, is it the same person bringing up the conversation about finances, or is it organic and from each of you?
Definitely from each of us. Probably more Kelsey, though, than me. Mm-hmm. But we kind of handle different sides of the finances.
He handles all of our taxes and everything. And we have a lot of like wheels turning at the same time. Like, we have investments, we have rental properties, I have a business, we have like his stuff going on, and we've always, yeah. Our taxes have never been a simple thing. That's to just put it lightly. He always handles all of that side of things. And then any of our, my mom is actually a financial planner. So we work with her to set up some long-term investments and medium-term investments. And he manages all of those conversations and all of where those types of money go. If we're talking about paying off some debt, he's the one who kind of handles and leads that conversation. But I'm more of like the day-to-day, I have all the accounts on my phone, you know, sort of thing, and checking in on how we're looking on a more like a day-to-day or a monthly basis, so to speak, in our regular spending.
Yeah, and we hear that a lot. Couples usually divide and conquer. Do you guys combine your accounts entirely, or have you kept some of it together or some of it apart or completely apart?
We combine everything.
Yeah, thanks. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And how did you make that decision? Or was that just sort of, did it naturally come about?
I mean, it naturally just kind of happened when we got married, more or less.
Yeah, we didn't combine anything necessarily before we got married. But yeah, when we got married, we just combined everything, said your money's my money and vice versa. So
when you actually combine checking accounts, saving accounts, you know, it's not only your money now, obviously it's our money, and like mm-hmm. it almost, I can like almost remember it gave me like a sense of like, oh, I have to, you know, this is, I'm not just spending for myself anymore. I'm spending, mm-hmm. you know, Kelsey. And it kind of gave like a sense of like selfless kind of just, yeah, I guess a greater responsibility with your money because it has a bigger impact now.
Yeah.
I think that happened when we got married for sure.
Oddity was asking about how you go about thinking about money. And one thing that we've noticed talking with everyone is that, yes, they do split up their money in different ways. But there's typically one person who in the relationship owns the management of it. And it sounds like the two of you share that responsibility. How did you decide that it's Wes that sort of takes care of the taxes bit? And Kelsey, how do you decide to take ownership over your part? What did that conversation look like? And how did you come to your decision?
I don't know that we had an actual conversation about it. I guess I'm just more like...
Kelsey's more like tech oriented. I mean, we're both, you know, tech oriented more or less, but Kelsey definitely is more fluent than I am. And just managing the day to day things, whether it's just looking at our checking account and whatnot. So she kind of just naturally took that. And then like taxes and the bigger picture stuff.
When we were living abroad, he tended to take a lot more of the life admin stuff, what we call it, because was pursuing stuff with kayaking, but it didn't involve his time every single day, whereas my job did. So he tended to take on like including groceries, including cooking, everything. And I know that's when you really took like primary lead on taxes.
Sure.
And
yeah,
I did
definitely.
Nothing for our taxes. But I guess with the day-to-day, it's a little bit more like of an anal personality than Wes's. So I will be more like attentive to things on a regular basis, details. Little bit of a personality difference between us.
Yeah, for sure.
One place where otherwise harmonious conversations become stressed is when there's a big purchase involved. And we were talking before the show about the decision to buy a home together. Walk us through what that sort of big decision, because it is a major decision, looked like, and how, if at all, making that decision together has influenced your lives thereafter.
So we grew up in a small town in Pennsylvania, and after college, we moved back to that town, and it's always been instilled in us to buy a house. And in that particular town, it makes a lot more sense to buy if you have the down payment than to rent, because houses are so inexpensive. They're affordable. So we bought our first house a couple months before we got married, and it was a duplex. We lived in half and rented out the other half. And then a year later, we bought our second property in the same town that was also a duplex, and we rented out both sides. We did sell the house that we lived in for 3 years since then, but we still own the other one and rent it out. But I would say really wasn't a massive decision. I don't remember it being that, because it just was kind of like, that's what you do next.
Right.
And we did have the means. We worked really hard through college to build a good savings account that we knew we could combine and for a down payment in the first home that we bought together. But I remember it being very exciting, but I didn't remember it being like this massive financial decision, because it was just sort of the path that we should have taken.
Yeah.
And your parents always have had rental properties, so we always grew up knowing that that's what we wanted to do.
Yeah, I would say my parents, I get what Kelsey just said, my parents have several rental properties, and they've always kind of definitely put a bug in my ear, like, hey, mm-hmm. start young and invest your money in property. And
amen.
Again, I was just thinking, like, you know, how can we have good cash flow? And, you know, getting a multifamily is kind of a no-brainer.
Again, us, and guess, in but, Pennsylvania, it's totally different. Totally different story. And, like, we could not have done that here in Seattle. Still,
yeah,
can't.
Totally. And we did put a down payment on that first property, but it was, you know, a standard FHA loan with, and it requires like maybe like 3% down or something.
It was something low. Yeah.
So we didn't, but we did put a little more down, I think, than required, but not much more. So it didn't take actually a huge chunk of our savings. And by living in that multifamily for 4 years, but we were saving money a lot by having that multifamily. And then like what Kelsey said, we were able to buy an actual investment property that did require more money down, 15 or 20%. But again, we were able to build our savings account up in those 3 years we were living in that first multifamily we bought.
What are you guys saving for? Like, you guys, it sounds like you have such good money habits. What is it all in pursuit of?
We love to have money be giving us some freedom. We're not really money-driven people, but neither of us have a desire to be rich, but like, you know, there is some like wealth aspect that affects your freedom and flexibility in terms of like your foundation that you've built and the future forward thinking mentality to prepare yourself for a good future as well. So we kind of have both things in mind, but we, like he said, we live very below our means. Both of us make very humble income. Like, we're not, you know, but we just kind of do it a lot, like, pretty smartly, I think, in terms of what's valuable to us. So we actually live with roommates right now in a house in Seattle in a really trendy neighborhood, but that location was valuable to us instead of having like our own place that we can call ours. And that was just a financial trade that we decided to make for ourselves. And we pay half the price that we would if we were living on our own. And that money goes directly into savings or towards other things like trips and travel. That's a really big aspect of our lives, given that, you know, we spent some time abroad and living abroad, but that doesn't stop now that we're back in the States as well. We're constantly looking for the next thing. And even when we travel pretty scrappy too, staying in hostels or, you know, getting vans and sleeping in the vans and traveling around. And we find it to be more fun that way. We don't really have a desire to stay in nice hotels and things like that.
Given your alignment and your flexibility and your forward thinking, the answer to the next question may very well be no. But when it comes to finances or money, is there anything that either frightens you today or has frightened you in the past?
Yeah, I think like just the idea of like having enough money for retirement is always kind of a, you know, not a nervous thing to think about, but just like I definitely want to be at a good spot when we retire. And also, like, I know I've definitely thought about it, but like, you know, if something drastic were to ever happen to either one of us, and you want to make sure that you know, Kelsey or myself would have, you know, obviously enough money, you know, saved up and to, you know, to give us a cushion of, you know, if something drastic were to happen to one of us. But
I think I got used to risk a little bit when I started my business, for sure, because their stability went out the door and like any predictability went out the door, especially in that those first like formidable years. But now that I do have a more stable income, I'm okay with like, you know, a little bit of risk. But again, that foundation kind of needs to be there too. I know if you've heard of Amanda Steinberg, she wrote a book called Worth It, and she talks a lot about, she talks a lot about the roots and wings concept, where you're having those, like those grounded roots, but also those kind of allow you to fly and take flight. So it's always an interesting concept to consider. So I think in the way of fear, we do have those foundation or that foundation set, but of course that can change quickly, like you said, if there's something drastic happens or a big purchase needs to come up.
But I think also just because we were at a point in our lives, you know, several years ago where we were living extremely below our means, just the confirmation that we can live like that if we ever do come into a situation, that made us stronger going through that.
Knowing your relationship can withstand poverty, you mean?
Yeah, more or less, yeah.
In a very privileged sense. But yes, we knew we could get creative and we knew we could make it through. So.
Yeah, there's a famous quote called from Mae West that's like, you know, love conquers all except poverty and toothaches. And it always makes me laugh. One quick question for you guys. How do you guys think about your future? And especially, you know, if you were to have a family, let's say in the future, are there things that you just want your kids to go through or learn or experiences for them to have as it relates to money, given how thoughtful you guys are about your finances?
And how instrumental your parents were for the both of you.
Definitely important. I think instilling just responsibility, like money is, you know, it's a gift, you know, it should never be taken for granted.
It's not everything, though.
But it's not everything at all, you know. You know, you can do a lot of good with money, but you can also do a lot of evil with money. So that's kind of where the responsibility part comes in.
How do you teach them that?
I mean, I would say the same way that our parents taught us, like just walking us through the steps of responsible spending and responsible financial usage. And then also living that too. Like I said, I always really respected my parents. They were pretty well off, but they did not show it. And I had, you know, a lot of other families in my visibility that I could see, you know, showing off with their nice cars and whatever. And again, like it's everyone's own discretion and how they use and spend their money. But I really appreciate it. And I like the way that my parents did and yours as well, Wes. And that they weren't boastful and they were still keeping that humility aspect in check and spending their money on things that were valuable to them.
Yeah, and I think we come from kind of a blue collar working area. My dad and my grandpa were both electricians, and just seeing the hard work they put in and the sweat every day, and just put a value on money when you do work a laborious job like that. And I worked with him and my brother, who's a general contractor. I worked with them through high school and just really knew what hard work meant. And that definitely opened my eyes to just, you know, how I spend my money and just to be responsible in general.
We are at a time now where I think we want to turn over to the newlyweds game.
Correctly termed newlyweds game that we've been calling the honeymoon game.
Yeah. We had the two of you answer some questions we posed to you, and neither of you have seen each other's answers. And so I thought I would begin with you, Kelsey, and start with the first question. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. So I asked, if your partner, Wes, won $1 million today, what would he do with the money?
Okay. And I said that he would first pay off all debt, student loans, mortgage, et cetera. And secondly, he would invest in more properties, and then put money into the Roth IRA. He would probably donate to the church, and he'd probably want to help his family, my family, and maybe some friends as well, if they're in any binds. And then he'd want us to probably quit our jobs and travel. and I purposely listed a lot of things because he would find a lot of ways to spend $1 million.
Awesome. No, that's good. Spread it out and make it count. Wes, how close was she?
Yeah, she's pretty dead on, really. I would say
did
that.
You fit anything else in there?
That kind of covered the gamut. Yeah, I mean,
kayaking expedition trip.
Yeah, probably buy some new kayak gear for sure. But she kind of hit the nail on the head, really.
Well, Wes, how would you answer the question? What would Kelsey spend the money on?
Invest, travel, pay off our final debt, and she said school debt, which is my debt from college. And I said charity/bless others. I'd say pretty similar.
Yeah.
Wow, guys, totally aligned. Yeah. You guys would clearly win this game if it were for a prize or real money.
That's only question one.
I was gonna say, we'll see.
Okay, let's go to question two then. What is one WTF purchase that your partner's made in the last year that you don't understand?
Can we start with Wes this time?
Sure.
Go, Wes, go for it.
I kind of had a hard time coming up with this one, but I would say just in general, like maybe some clothes or like makeup. If you look at my wardrobe, I wear like the same t-shirt. Like I have like 5 t-shirts that I wear, and just like 2 pairs of pants.
Like I wish he spent money on clothes.
But I usually wear, I mean, it's as dirtbaggish as this sounds to say, but like I only wear like free t-shirts and stuff that I get at like events and stuff like that. So yeah, I would say clothes and makeup would be the biggest one, but I can't think of.
Men will never understand.
No, they won't. And it's stuff's expensive.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, I do understand a tiny bit, but not fully. I embrace it, I guess.
How about you, Kelsey?
Yeah, this was hard to answer because there's definitely things that we ourselves would not spend money on that the other person does, but we both know that we have those things separate from one another. So we're just like, cool, you stay in your corner and I'll stay in mine. And like, these are the things that just are different and that make us different. And that's good. Right. I would have added to that. I am such a sucker for like Instagram ads and like cool new
things that pop up. We've heard that so many times these last couple of weeks. It's so interesting.
Yeah, they're definitely on with their targeting.
Yes, and I'm their favorite customer because I will click shop and we'll get something to deliver to our house. And he's like, what is this? And how much did it cost? I'm like, don't worry about it. It's fine. but what I had put, and I really had a hard time coming up with this too, but sometimes I just question his all of the kayaks that he has. But I think right now.
How many does he have?
At the moment, I actually only have one.
Yeah.
But
sometimes he has like 5
at a time. You know, it depends kind of what the season is and you know what the flows of the rivers are doing. Sometimes you just need like a smaller, slicier kayak to kind of mix it up and have fun on the river, and that definitely
but anytime he wants to purchase one, he always brings the presentation along, because this is what we generally will talk about. So he'll say, I have an investment opportunity, I think.
I love it.
Yeah, and he'll say, I'm gonna buy this kayak, but don't worry, I'm gonna turn around and sell it next season, so it's fine, we'll make our
money. That's amazing. Is it a depreciating or appreciating asset?
Definitely depreciating. But
especially the way he uses them.
Yeah, I definitely tend to take a beating on the rivers. So yeah, depreciating for sure.
I'm just putting it out there, but some bags, handbags in particular, are appreciating assets. So
that's fair.
Good point.
That's fair.
Next question. Complete the following sentence. When it comes to money, one thing we cannot agree on is blank.
I literally couldn't think of anything. I still left this blank. I tried to think of something. Again, we have our differences and things that I know I would never spend as much money as he spends on kayaks, but he also wouldn't spend the stuff that I spend money on. So I can't really think of anything.
This is legal, this test, but like I kind of thought of something for myself, actually. I've been like.
Is it legal? I don't know. Hold on.
Delmar. Yep. Yes, that is within the rules.
Ziggy gives 2 paws up.
Yeah, I've kind of been spending some money on like not restaurant food, but just like, I would say in general, we both have been eating fairly healthy the last couple of years and we've always eaten kind of well, but have definitely
invested in our groceries.
More and just like clean foods.
Yeah.
Nice.
So,
but we agree on that.
But we do agree on that.
Yeah.
It's but I usually like leave the market or something. And I'm just like a little guilty. I'm like, oh wow, I just spent $70 and got
2 apples.
Yeah.
No, it's so true. Apples are obscenely expensive. Valid point.
Yeah.
You guys should go to Singapore, where they import most of their produce. I went to the grocery store and had to check to make sure that it wasn't mispriced. 6 strawberries for $25.
What? Oh my god!
Yeah.
So don't feel too guilty.
So it could be worse.
Yeah. That's absurd. That's crazy.
I would say the one thing that we don't agree on sometimes is, and I'm still pretty good about this, but and this is more for me, but Wes doesn't really drink, and I like to have a beer and a glass of wine every so often with dinner or like out with my friends and whatnot. So sometimes he'll be like, "How much money did you spend at the bar last night?"
No, because
he spent zero.
Yeah.
But again, back to the kayak thing, I'm pretty sure my couple beers every so often doesn't equate to your kayak.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So fourth question, when it comes to money, the easiest thing for us to agree on is blank.
I had spend within or below our means.
What'd you say, Kelsey?
I had future investments, dining out, because we are pretty scrappy about dining out, and we just kind of do it for special occasions or socially with friends. And we're pretty much on the same page with that. Like, we don't order a lot of takeout or anything like that. We cook in. And then housing.
Oh my God, teach us your ways.
I mean, I would love to order takeout, but from a money perspective, we just put our values somewhere else. But right. And then housing as well. Like, when we're traveling, we're on the same page for the most part. And, you know, renting and whatnot, just trying to stay as below our means as possible. But yeah, and then especially, again, the traveling aspect, like, we're super down to get the experience. And like, I mean, I'm such a freak about credit card points and whatnot that paying for a flight feels like I'm getting ripped off at this point. So we're on the same page as that. And I like text him updates on which credit cards we should be spending on which types of expenses. And he's on board with that too.
She does the techie up to dates.
Yeah.
The last question in the newlyweds game, what's the max you would spend up to before you checked in with each other? Why don't you go first, Wes?
I had 150.
Okay. Kelsey?
I had $150 to $200.
Well, get out of here.
You guys, come on. I think you won.
You guys win this
I
game.
I think you won.
That's incredible.
I did have an asterisk next to mine. And okay. That was about, it just depends on what it is and if the value is there. So again, like a, you know, $27 thing of 6 strawberries, like, I'd probably be like, hey.
You'd pause. Yeah, hang on.
Like,
yeah.
Is this worth it?
How clean does our food need to be?
Yeah. But like, for example, flights are above $150. And if we are paying for like a cross-country flight, we're not going to really check in on each other, just knowing that we have to purchase the flight. So, but totally. Yeah, I'd put $150 to $200 as well.
Well, okay. So your grand prize for winning is, dun dun dun, Delmar?
You guys get to keep Ziggy.
Oh, that's a great prize. We'll be shipping her little puppy to
Put
you.
Put all your shoes
Just
away.
Just fair warning, he will make a dent in your budget.
We'd love to have a dog, actually.
Oh my gosh. One day I'm going to write a post on the cost of a pet.
Oh my God. This guy
is a maniac.
Well, this guy in particular, yeah.
What I love about your story is that it is, you guys are so aligned, and we don't always get to hear that. And it's nice to sort of, you know, talk to a couple who've been working on this for a long time, and who've been lucky enough to meet each other so early on in your lives and your own relationship that you've been able to align yourself so closely for this long.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. A few folks that we've talked to, both on the podcast and friends or friends of friends that we talk offline, meet later in life after habits have set in, and they're coming at sort of the money conversation from entirely different perspectives. And so it makes aligning much harder, but it sounds like you two have been in sync for quite a while.
Well, it's pretty cool to be able to talk about it, because I don't think we really like recognized it that way. So it's pretty neat to see it that way. Yeah.
No, it's pretty cool, and it's worth celebrating.
And now you've won a prize.
And you get a puppy.
Yeah, exactly right. And you actually get two puppies, mind you, because Ziggy doesn't go anywhere without the goose. So you're getting both. Expect a box next week. It will cost more than $150. Fair warning.
Really, I like your name, Ziggy Goose.
The Money Date Podcast is an initiative of Zeta, a company I launched to help couples track and manage their finances together. If you're inspired by what you heard on this show, you can learn more about us at askzeta.com.
And if you'd like to support the podcast, here are a few ways to do so. You can subscribe to it, leave reviews on iTunes, Anchor, or wherever you happen to listen to your podcasts. or share it on social media with your friends. And if you'd like to be a guest on our show, write to us at podcast@askzeta.com.